Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah 29. That's Jeremiah 29. I really like Jeremiah. Is that how you say Jeremiah? Is that Texas or Jeremiah? I don't know. I guess it just depends on where you're from. I don't know. Jeremiah 29, we're going to start at verse 10. Let's just pray real quick. Father, we just thank you for this service. We thank you for everyone tonight that's come. Father, open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear and to receive revelation, new light. God, help us to receive what it is you're saying tonight, Father God. We bind any hindering thing or anything that would try to come against receiving in Jesus' name. We thank you that the word of God flows unhindered tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor and them are in McKinney at Hope City, Dallas. She's ministering there, and we bless them, and I'm so honored that she has asked me to minister tonight. So, praise the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word, not work, my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts. Who knows the thoughts? He does. He knows the thoughts that he thinks towards you, saith the Lord. They're thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's what he thinks about you. That's what he thinks for you. So if anyone ever tries to convince you that God is trying to teach you something, you need to take him to this. No, no. It says right here, he thinks this. This is what he's thinking about me and my life right here. Amen. Look to the person next to you and say, God's got it. Turn your head, look to somebody else, say, God's got it. That's the title of my message this evening. God has got it. We're going to read in Psalm 16 if you want to turn over in your Bibles. Psalm 16. I really like this. This blesses me. It was something I already had highlighted. And when I was like, whoo, man, it blessed me all over again. Psalm 16, we're going to start at verse 5. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, my cup. He is all I need. This is the Amplified. You support my lot. The boundary lines of the land have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my heart, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory, my innermost self rejoices. My body too will dwell confidently in safety, for you will not abandon me in Sheol, the neither world of the place of the dead, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will show me the path. Say, he will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. There's a comma there. You will show me the path of life, and your presence is the fullness of joy. So that means in your path, you will be in the presence of his joy. Amen. Joy is in his presence. Amen. The fullness of it. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That right there is enough to close it and say, God bless you. And, you know, but we won't. We will continue. Praise the Lord. God's got it. Amen. Long before your need shows up, the genius and the wisdom of God has already been at work. I'm going to go on to say, before you were ever put into your mother's womb, God had a perfect plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. He's already provided and has already worked out the miracle on your behalf. He is the beginning, and he is the first, and he is the last. Before the foundations of the world. So before anything, he was. He is. Amen? Ooh, praise the Lord. He is in front of everything. Believe it or not, I know Pastor has said this, but it bears repeating, COVID did not take the Lord by surprise. He was not, oh no, what are we going to do now, Jesus? What are we going to do? No, don't work like that. Now the enemy will try his hardest to convince you through whatever means necessary to convince you that you are on the opposite end of the spectrum and that you don't know what God's got for you. And it might be good, it might be bad, there might be struggle, there might be, you know, famine, whatever. But see, God says otherwise. God said you are the head and not the tail. That's what he said. That's what he said to me. That's what he said to you. You are the head, not the tail. So what does that mean? That also means that you are in front of everything. It is only when you position yourself to take a position as a victim or as someone who has lost or a mindset of not enough, always trying to gain something, always trying to get something. When you begin to shift your mindset to what God says, then you will begin to see yourself out front of circumstances, out front of the issues, because before the foundations of the world, he was. This is why we can have that confidence. Nothing catches Holy Spirit off guard. Now the enemy will push every button you have. He will give you thoughts, the stinking thinking. We know what those are, the stinking thinking thoughts. You know, sometimes they're like little runaway trains, you know, before you're on cart 17, you don't know how you got there. You know, no. We say no. He will do anything and everything to get you to forfeit this information right here. He will bring every pressure. He will bring whatever it is to get you over into a mindset of, oh, I'm struggling, or I'm this, or I'm that. Mm-mm, no, you are not. No, you are not. You are the head and not the tail. God always operates on the positive side because he's victorious. When you're victorious, you can only act victorious. You can only speak victorious. You can only produce victorious. You can only think victorious. This is the mindset of our Father. And I do remember reading somewhere in here that it said, I have his mindset. So when the enemy brings the stinking thinking and he brings the button pushing, you just need to remind him, no. I have the mind of Christ. You see, I am ahead of this thing. You think you got the upper hand, but this is what the word said about it. So therefore, let me remind you of your future though. Your future don't look so good, sir. Okay? Praise the Lord. And so any need that could arise, he's already got an answer for you. He's already got a solution. He's already got a God idea. Amen? So there isn't any room for worry or fear, because that is the place where you operate in faith. And when we're in faith, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. We know that. When we worry, we aren't fully convinced, not fully, who is in control. Okay? So when you approach your needs or a circumstance, no matter what it is, we need to be thinking in this way. Man. This is looking like this, but God's out front of this. God's already got the plan. This might be a fact. The fact might be this, but the truth is this. I had to recently walk through that with my mother. She got COVID and was put on a ventilator for 3 weeks, on life support. They didn't give us any indication that it was going to go our way. They didn't need to give me any indication because I had already put something on the inside of me concerning my mother, that she would live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. You see, the fact was she was on a ventilator. The fact was she was out cold. I couldn't speak to her on the phone. I was 4 hours away from her. The fact was it looked pretty bad. It looked real bad. And let me, like a ninja, I walked up into that ICU room, and I told the nurse, I said, listen, I'm a praying woman. She goes, oh, it's okay. I said, no, I'm like, I'm gonna pray, okay? I'm gonna pray. And And she was like, oh, it's fine. I was like, okay, in the name, you know, so it wasn't as dramatic, but probably in the spirit, it was that dramatic, okay? Because listen, the enemy was trying to come in like a flood, but Jesus, like a flood, raised the standard against him. Why? Because my truth trumped his fact. Glory to God. And my mother is about two weeks away from going home. Praise God, fully recovered in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So there isn't any room for worry or fear. Now listen, does it come? It absolutely will come. But you get to choose how you interact with it. You see, the Lord told us in the Word, he said, the choice is yours to make, blessing or curse, but you gotta choose. There is no gray area. It's either light or dark. It's either blessing or cursing. There is no gray area. So if there is no choice, you chose. It's like when you don't vote, you chose. Amen. So when you approach your needs and your circumstances, you have that automatic response. It's built up in you. And this is why it's so important. Do not wait until a circumstance arises to then go and try to cram. It's important to get it in there so that when something happens, it's an automatic response. Have you ever seen an NFL player or a baseball player where somebody's bop and that ball's a flying and they just like, whoosh. That they didn't have to think about it. It was a response. Why? Because they had done it over and over and over and over. It was built in them. It is an automatic response. And it's built in them because they have spent time doing it. The practicing and the practicing and the practicing and the doing it over and over and over until they become sharp in their skills. Amen. And many people will say, oh, well, I can't hear him speaking. I don't hear the Lord. But you seem to be able to hear the enemy very clearly. You seem to have a very clear path of the enemy speaking to you 24 hours a day nonstop. See, it's not a hearing problem. You can hear just fine. You're just listening to the wrong channel. Okay? So the hearing problem is not the problem. It's that you're listening to the wrong channel. Amen. And when I learned that, it caused some growing up in me spiritually, because I thought to myself, so many times we hear these things and then we take those things and we meditate those things and we spend time with those things, and then it brings the worry and it brings the fear and it brings all the condemnation and all the yuck, right? Okay. So imagine if we did the same thing with the Word. If the Lord gave you a promise and you took it and you meditated on it and you thought it and you thought it and it brought faith and it brought encouragement and it brought strength and it brought life, works the same way. Glory to God. Changes the channel. You're hearing a familiar voice. Imagine this. Disney World, right? I love Disney. Okay. But Disney World, there's people everywhere. I mean, everywhere, right? But if your spouse or your child says mama or daddy, you know exactly. You could be in a sea of 1,000 people and hear that one voice, and you don't even have to see them. You just know it's them. This is what it should be like, hearing the Father. God does not want to have to chase you around all day to try to bless you. He wants you to be like, what you got, Lord? Because he's ready. He's got it all. Remember, before the foundation. God does his part so perfectly. He sees all that's going on. Even the things you don't see. We're going to find out one day when we get to heaven, there were things that took place that he protected you from, that he kept you from. The angels were like, rerouted you took you down a right street and took you, rerouted you. There are going to be things that we don't even know about that God did for you. So if for that, just thank him. Lord, the things I don't even see or know about that you protected me from. Thank you for that, Lord. God is so good. Now, even though that God has a perfect plan for our life, he has all and he has already set you up for favor and blessing. It won't just drop in your lap. You have to exercise your faith as we walk it out and we lay hold of the things that he has prepared. A ship is never going to just get to its destination, either docked or just floating randomly out at the sea. When it leaves its dock, it already knows where it's going. But nothing will happen if it doesn't move. It just doesn't wander around the ocean. There's purpose. So this is something that I've done with my children that I started doing. The Lord taught me this. And I'm sure most of you do it too. But when you can't find something or you can't remember where you placed your keys or whatever the case is, I have started saying, one, Holy Spirit, please remind me, because he said he would remind us of things. But two, I'm like, angels, I know y'all know where that is. So just take me to it. And so I pray that, I say that, and then I start looking. Now, if I prayed that and went and sat on my couch and played, Candy Crush, I don't know that the keys would just come plop in my lap. You see, my faith without works. See, I believe that when I pray that and ask the Holy Spirit to help remind me and ask the angels to guide me, I believe that they will. But I need to start looking so they can. Does that make sense? So I can promise you this, almost 10 out of 10 times when I pray that, within moments, I find it. Every time, my kids will come to me and say, Mom, do your thing. I can't find my shin guard. La, 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 la. I was like, they know my response. It's going to be like, did you pray? Yeah, every time. Try it. Y'all just try it. So if there's something y'all can't find, Amanda knows. What was it? A ring? Lots of things. I'm telling y'all, those angels, they know where your stuff is. Some of it might be in the dryer. Y'all need to look there too. But you got to start. If you're believing God for something, take a step out in faith. Begin to move things around. Look under some rocks, Lord. Come on. What you see, what you feel, and what you've been told about your circumstances are not greater than what God has already said. If God said it, you can have it. If he said you could do it, then you can do it. Well, I don't have all my ducks in a row. Well, God doesn't need your ducks, and he sure don't need them to be in a row. That wasn't nowhere in the Bible. He needs your words, he needs your faith, and he needs you to come into agreement with what he says about you. Jeremiah 29:11. I don't know if y'all ever heard of Brother Kevin Zadie. I really like to listen to him. He's amazing. So back in like 1992, 93, he died on the operating table. And interestingly enough, he was having his wisdom teeth pulled. And they had given him too much anesthesia. That's back before they measured. That's the way he explained it. Anyway, long story short, he found himself on the side of his operating table, staring at his body and trying to get the doctor's attention to no avail. And then all of a sudden he said a familiar voice. And he turned around and it was Jesus. And for 45 minutes, Jesus taught him and also took him to heaven to teach him. And in heaven, the Lord showed him there was a room, a library-like room where it was filled with books. And some of you may have already heard this, but he was saying that he was like, man, this is awesome. And the angels were there and they were reading the books and then they would go. And then they would come back and they'd read the books and then they'd go. And he said, Lord, what are they doing? And he said, Kevin, every single person on the earth, I have a plan for them. There's a book written about them. All the things that I have for them is in that book. These angels are on assignment to bring to pass the things that I have for them. And he said, so it is important to align yourself with what it is that I have so that my angels can go out and do it. So Brother Zadai says, and the Lord instructed him to pray every day this prayer. Father, I align myself with what you have planned for me on this day. Father, wherever I need to be, whoever I need to speak with, wherever I need to go, God, I align myself. Lord, I submit myself to your will. Angels of God, take me where and use me. Help me to be completely submitted to where you need me to be. Help me to know where to go. And he said, and so now, you know, those angels, they have a job to do. They hearken to the voice of the Lord. So if the Lord has a book about you, they hearken to that book. So we must align ourselves with what God says. God has it as though every person he's created, he never designed or anticipated for them to go to hell. But instead, every single person he had it to where everyone was meant to go to heaven. But again, we must choose. Some choose life and others do not. But he tells us, choose life. Choose blessing. Find out what he is saying about whatever it is. What does his word say? It's his word that brings you to it and believing that what he has promised, he's able to do it. Abraham did this. Can you imagine if these two right here came in here and said they were going to have a baby? This little couple, the 90-year-olds right here. I mean, could you? That's Abraham and Sarah. And the Lord told him. But what Abraham did was so amazing is he didn't consider his circumstance. He didn't consider his age. He didn't consider Sarah. He believed the word. And he took it. And he received it. And he meditated it. Now, we know that the Lord had to change his name to get him speaking differently. And so let that be a little nugget. You can have a promise, but what are you speaking? Come on. Choose life. It's his word that brings you to it. A lot of times people will go through things and never even ask God what he thinks, if he's okay with it, is this something you want? They just like it. It just feels right. I don't know, it just felt good. So I said yes. No thank you. No thank you. That pizza sounds and smells and looks real good. But it's not always the best choice. It gives people heartburn. Not me though, I like it. Praise God. I'm just teasing. No, but we must get ourselves elevated in our thinking and not start here with our thinking and then try to work our way to here through this circumstance. But in the circumstance, start out front. Don't work your way up to victory. You are in victory. Work your way through the victory. Come on. Hallelujah. But you know, sometimes we miss it, and that's okay. We miss it. We'll make mistakes. We'll go through things we shouldn't or couldn't or didn't need to go through. But this is how amazing our God is. He is so redemptive. He is so loving and so forgiving. He will make it as if the time wasn't lost. He'll make it as if the mistakes never happened. He won't even bring it up again. That's how good he is. Have you ever been into a fight with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, and they're bringing up, well, you said, and you did, and you lied, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, I thought she forgot about that. No, we don't forget. Just so y'all know, women, we don't forget. But in Jesus' name, we will forget the bad stuff. Y'all forgive. Forgive, everybody forgive. Praise the Lord. But our God, he's so merciful. He's so good. He will take your heap of mess that you brought on yourself because you didn't even ask him in the first place. And he'll move right on in there and he will make it as if he'll make it as if you did seek him out. He will bring you out so much brighter and so much, you smelling good, you're looking good. He's so good. If you miss it, don't be defeated. Listen, don't be defeated in your thinking. You dust the enemy off and you move forward. You've got things to do in the kingdom. get right back over into victory. Many times, you know, when we stumble over things, the enemy loves to kind of keep you in a position of where it's just here. You thought you worked through something, but it's still just like right here. I always say rip the rug out from underneath the enemy. So whatever it is that's got you, if it's a person or a thought or whatever it is, rip the rug out. Call the person and say, hey, I was dealing with this, but I want to let you know, I love you. You're my friend. We're cool. Whatever it is that you got to say, you know, and you may not even need to say it to them. Just vocalize it. Sometimes just saying it. The longer we take to occupy where God has called us to, the longer we take to occupy what he says to do, the more time you're giving the enemy to build strategies and devices against you. You see, he is not all-knowing. He does not know your Jeremiah 29. Now, he knows it's good, but he doesn't know what it is. Okay? So, the longer you take to act on what God's called you to do, he he's listening. He's listening for signals and clues, so he can be like, he's strategizing. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? Some of you, that was good, Lord. Some of you don't know when to hold them or when to fold them. Okay? You got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. Sometimes the Lord will speak to you a word that he wants you to just declare it out of your mouth right then. Just say it. Bam. But then he gives you a word that he wants you to keep inside, to let it marinate, to meditate, to grow. And then he'll tell you when to release it. Amen. Satan doesn't always know exactly where to attack you, especially when the old ways don't work anymore. The thing that used to just get you every time doesn't work anymore. So now he's like, man, what are we going to do, guys? He's having like a little meeting with his lower level devils. It don't work anymore. So now he's trying to strategize. He's listening to your conversations. He's watching your movement. He's seeing what you're watching. He's strategizing all the while. But listen, if he sees you hesitate or say something in fear, he'll start throwing darts at anything and everything, trying to hit something. But faith is our shield. Faith, Ephesians 6:16. Faith is our shield. It extinguishes the darts of the enemy. So when God's called you to something, that's why it is so important to resist fear, worry, any turmoil, any strife, anything like that. Because if you befriend that and you kind of rub elbows with that, you are allowing an opportunity for darts to be thrown at you, arrows to be thrown at you. But if you keep your shield of faith up, the word says that those fiery darts are extinguished. So no weapon formed against you will prosper. So when the enemy does listen to your conversations, he's like, oh man, she's talking about more than a conqueror. She's talking about I'm healed and whole. My pockets are filled with $100 bills. Praise the Lord. That's a good one. But these are the kinds of things. He's listening to your conversation. He's waiting for you to say something so he can get into agreement with you about it. He needs you to be his parrot. He wants to whisper something in your ear to get you to speak it. Why? You carry authority. You carry dominion. Come on. Praise the Lord. Faith is our shield. Don't ever take something someone says or does to you over what God has already said. If God already said something about it, that's your final authority. It ends right there. And you know, we've all had our experiences with teachers or parents or just anything really where someone has said or done something where it impacted you. Okay, Siri, we ain't talking right now. She just interrupts. Where someone has said something where it impacted you, good or bad. I've had teachers, and I know all of you have too. You've had teachers that inspired you and that encouraged you and saw something you didn't see in yourself and told you you could do it, And then you had those teachers that made you feel like you were ignorant and you couldn't get it. And they made you feel bad about yourself and the blah. Both were just as vital. And you would have had to have received both of them or either one of them for it to impact you the way that it did, right? But see, what we know now, we don't give ear to those things. We don't give ear to offense. We don't give ear to those things because when you do that, you're setting the stage up for the enemy to be able to come in and take your stuff, your joy, your peace. He's all the time. Listen, the enemy, I've told you this before, the enemy works overtime. He shows up early. He stays late. He's a hard worker. He ain't never called in sick a day in his life. He wants to come for your stuff. Okay? Your peace. Your joy. Don't let him have it. There are people that were sentenced to life in prison that were set free. Talk about hopeless. You talk about hopeless. Some of those people, they don't even get to go to trial. That like after they go get locked up and that is it. Talk about hopeless. People who were written off to die by their doctors that were radically healed. Missionaries who fed people and the food kept multiplying. I actually went to listen to Heidi Baker and she told this story and wow. She was feeding this orphanage, her and her partners. And she said, we had made this big pot and she said, but more people showed up than what they even thought or imagined. And she said, she looked at her people and she's thinking, she said, I didn't say the words, but I wanted to say, what are we going to do? But she said this instead, get the bowls ready. And she said, just start filling them. Just start filling the bowls up. And she said, they filled and they filled and they filled and they filled. People were coming back for seconds. And so she was thinking that, you know, maybe they wouldn't get to eat and that was okay. But she said they ate and she said that pot never went down. And she said, I saw it. I made the other people come look, but over and over and over and over, they served those bowls. God's got it. Let's talk about the lion's den. Listen. There's some things that, you know, you don't want to do. I don't like scorpions, okay? I don't want to deal with spiders. I don't even like them little millipede things. You know, when you crush them, they crunch. Oh, forgive me. But to imagine being thrown into a lion's den, talk about hopeless. I mean, but in the midst of absolute, oh Lord, what are we going to do here? God shows up. The fiery furnace, it wasn't just hot. It was like melt the soldiers hot. It was impossible. It was absolutely unimaginably, how is God going to do it this time? Impossible. Not only that, but they were tied up. They were tied up. So here is this absolutely impossible situation and their hands are tied. I'm sure they were gagged too, you know, bound and gagged. But even in the midst of a fire raging, not even their clothes, not that they didn't get burned, they didn't even smell like smoke. You want to talk about walking through something with such boldness and faith in your God that you don't even have any residue of the impossibleness that you just walked through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I would say that was walking through some shadows right there. But God showed up. All of these situations, and I'm sure there are, obviously there's more way crazier stories, radical things where God shows up in impossible situations. But do you know the same God that rescued them from the fire is the same God that cares about your light bill? He cares about your relationships. He cares about those phone calls that you want to receive. He is the God that shows up. He is the God that shows up. He just wants you to see him as your waymaker. That's it. I just need you to believe it. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Then let's go. That's what he's wanting you to do. Karina, if you can see it, if he said it to you, get it and you put it on the inside and you meditate it and you walk it out and you watch God do what God does. He shows up. And it's not like he was just somewhere waiting before the foundations of the earth. He was your Jeremiah 29:11, your book in heaven. The angels waiting on you to come into agreement with it so they can go out and do some things. Do you think that God just saw them going into the fiery furnace and thought, what can I do here? What can I do here? No. As a matter of fact, I think the more impossible the situation is, the better God shows off. Come on. When you give him room to work, the impossible things look absolutely ridiculous. He only needs you to believe and receive. Your agreement is everything. Your agreement is everything. Your agreement is everything. Choose life. Choose it. Oh, but I'm hurting so bad. I'm in so much pain. Choose life. Choose it. They hurt me. You don't even know what they said to me. You don't even know what they did to me. Choose life. Rip that rug out from underneath the enemy. Don't you give him one more day. But it still hurts. Choose life. I choose to forgive God. Whether I feel it or not, I choose to forgive. And you walk it out. You see him again and you start feeling that lava coming up your leg. Nope. I've forgiven. Listen, forgiveness is not a feeling. This world has designed and created this thing where you think forgiveness, that you need to feel it. And that's how you know that you've truly forgiven. That is not the case. Let me tell you right now, that is not the case. You can forgive and see that person and still kind of, but let me tell you what, keep walking. Keep saying, nope, oh, that don't belong to me. I've forgiven them. I love them. Lord, I bless them. The Bible says to bless those who persecute you. He said, bless those who persecute you. Let me tell you right now, you need the Holy Ghost to do that. I can promise you that. If you've been hurt, if you've been wrong, absolutely wronged by someone, you've got to have supernatural help to let it go. It don't belong to you. It will keep you locked out of what God has for you. Don't do it. God's got it. He needs your agreement. God will employ every heavenly ability he has to work on the situations of your life if you will allow him. But you can't be talking out of both sides of your mouth. Faith over here and a little fear over here. Little faith to my church family and a little fear to my mama. Little God's got this, a little, oh honey, I don't know what we're gonna do. Don't say anything until you know what's going to come out. Don't say anything. Listen, we know Brother Copeland has taught us this. Get a word on it. Before you respond, if a text comes out of nowhere and you're like, what? and you go to stop. Lord, you saw that text. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? I don't let me say anything that doesn't come from you. Because listen, sometimes it takes one word to change something. Just one word. This world especially expects you to react. They are expecting the vomit. They're expecting you to overreact. They're expecting you to be in strife. They're expecting those things because that's what the flesh does. So when you walk in your supernatural authority and your supernatural giftings and your supernatural grace, it's not always easy in the beginning, but let me tell you right now, the more you do it, the stronger you become. It's just like working out. When you start working out, you might can only do one push-up. I mean, when Pastor Danny and I started working out, I don't think she could do one. And after 6 months of training, she could do like 30. Like she was like She-Ra. It was amazing. But that's what training does. When you train yourself spiritually to do something, you will become stronger when you begin to walk out something and you say, nope, Lord, I've committed myself to that. And Lord, I know I can't do it in my own strength, but I know if you will help me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because where I'm weak, Lord, you said that's when you're at your strongest. So Lord, I might be weak in this area, but you're not. He's not lacking. He said, ask me. Did he say it? He said, ask me for wisdom and I'll give it to you. How? Liberally. Liberally. So if there's an area of your life where you just can't get it and it's just not coming and it's just not happening, ask for wisdom and then listen. Well, I have listened and he didn't say anything. Change the channel. Change the channel. You might have a moment that you feel overwhelmed or unworthy or unqualified or weak, or you missed it or you blew up at somebody. Get right back over into victory. Lord. Lord, I recognize that that was not right. And Lord, forgive me for that. But Lord, help me, strengthen me in this moment, God. To be able to do what's right, when it's right, because it's right, God. Help me to talk right. He will. But you gotta let him. Amen? You can't be talking out of both sides of your mouth. You can't be living with Ishmael and Isaac at the same time. Ishmael's gotta go. You're either gonna live with the promise or the I tried to do it myself. I tried to do it myself, and here's my Ishmael. Isaac belongs to you. Isaac belongs to you. And if you don't know what that means, go read it. It will blow your socks off. No, we don't blow socks off. The Lord will bless you with a new pair. We're in the overflow around here. I've got lots of socks at my house in a basket. Nobody has a match to if y'all want to do so. Praise the Lord. That's another story. But it's when the Holy Spirit comes, he's your comforter. He's your counselor. How many need some counseling? He's your counselor. Don't go get on the YouTube and type in a blah, 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 blah. And then listen to these worldly people tell you how to succeed, tell you how to be blessed, tell you how to live a better life. Counsel. Counsel. This thing is alive. This thing is alive. It's an infallible. Whatever it says, that's it. Your counselor probably has some struggles his own self. He needs to go get some counseling from this word too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, with that said, I know there are godly counselors out there. I know that God has purposed and graced people to do that. So we bless them in the name of Jesus. And that God has a purpose for that. But when Holy Spirit comes to you in those ways, do not deny him that. If you are struggling and you've asked him for assistance, when he comes to you, do not deny him that. If you are struggling with something and he comes in to help you, but you refuse to be helped, and then ask him, where were you? He was there. You just didn't let him in. He was peeping through the windows and stuff. Y'all treating him like he was a Jehovah's Witness around. I forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Okay. Praise the Lord. Don't send me any letters. He's got this country. Why? Because he's a covenant-keeping God. So whether we blow our end or not, doesn't matter. He keeps his covenant. He is a covenant-keeping God. He's covenant-minded. If you'll fully trust him, and I mean fully trust him, sometimes that's not always pretty. Okay, it's always easier said than done. Whenever you get in the midst of something, you know, out here it's always easy to say, oh yeah, I'm a trusting. I'm a believing. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, the glory of the Lord is my strength. And bam, here comes something. You're like, oh, what do I do? Pastor, help me. Which is okay. That's why we have pastors. But the reason why we have this, and we have this to be able to hear and listen and get it in us so that when things come, you can say, nope, that does not belong to me. That does though. I'm not listening to that lie. Nope. I cancel that. You're an orchestrator of the kingdom. Praise God. Trust him fully, and he is faithful, and he is just to bring about the promises of God. He is faithful and just. That thing, God's got it. Say, God's got it. That thing, God's got it. That thing, God's got it. All right. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in the spirit a moment. Thank you for it, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you for it, Father. Father, we just bind every hindering spirit, God. Every depressive spirit, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Every demonic assignment, I command you be broken in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood over your people tonight, God. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for it, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you for it, Lord Jesus. You know, I do this often, and I believe that it is profound. Begin to ask the Lord for God assignments and God appointments. God assignments and God appointments. You can't be so self-consumed that you are not aware that God has need of you for someone else. Amen? I just sense that in the spirit. Sometimes we can get very overwhelmed in trying to keep ourselves together and do what we need to do, that we don't allow the Lord to use us. And you heard those cool stories about people that had been driving around and the Lord said, take it left, take it right. And then they pulled up and they're like, the Lord said, oh yeah, that's what I like. And God's used me that way. But I always want to make certain, and I've given the Holy Spirit permission, and I say this to him often, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to use me today in any capacity that you would like, no matter where I'm at, no matter who I'm with. I submit and commit myself to you, Father. I will do whatever you make plain to me. and I will say whatever it is you want me to say. I submit myself to him. And this is how we operate in the kingdom. Amen. God's got it. Thank you, Lord. Do y'all receive it tonight?